Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11 for the message this morning. I was reading Hebrews 11 on Thursday morning. I was not looking for a Father's Day sermon, to be honest with you. I was just reading for my own edification. And I came across this little phrase and stopped and pondered on it for a little while. And thus came the message. But if you look at verse 7, this, of course, as you know, is the faith chapter, the Hebrew Hall of Fame, all of the great men and women of the Old Testament who had faith in God, and their story is recorded here. And in verse 7, we have what the apostle says about Noah. And the seventh verse reads this way. It says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Now, if you go back and look at that for just a minute, Noah being warned of things not seen as yet. Well, you say, well, what does that mean? Well, you got to remember that before the flood, God watered the earth with the fountains of the deep and with the dew that settled every night. It did not rain prior to the flood. God watered the earth with the fountains of the deep and with the dew. There was no such thing as rain. That's why you can imagine the alarm when all of a sudden Noah started announcing that it was going to rain and God was going to flood the earth and destroy mankind because of his unbelief. The people probably thought that Noah was crazy when he said that, because to that point it had never rained before. However, once the ark was finished and Noah and his family were on the ark, the people soon found out what rain was. However, it was too late, and God destroyed man from off the face of the earth, save Noah and his immediate family. But notice what the scriptures tell us here. It says that he moved with fear. In other words, when God told him what was going to happen, he believed God. And then it said he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. I want to speak to you this morning, kind of taking this little phrase and developing the message around it. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, the saving of the house. Let's pray together and ask the Lord's blessings. Now, our Father, we're so very thankful that we have a Bible that we can turn to. And Lord, we can trust your word. We know that, Lord, all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. So I pray that it will profit each and every one of us this morning as we listen to what thus saith the Lord. Father, I pray that you will guide and direct and help me as I speak. Lord, you know every heart in this building. You know the needs that are represented. And I pray that you will bless and help me to and lead me to say what I need to say, so that the needs of our hearts can be met by your word this morning. Lord, I pray for souls to be saved. If there's anyone here that's not saved, that they'll see their need of the Lord today. And Father, I just pray that we'll all leave here today rejoicing because of what we've allowed you to do in our lives. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Now be with us in the message, and we'll give you praise for what you do. In Christ's name, amen. I want you to notice what the seventh verse says. It says that there was a man who was successful in the saving of his house. There was a man that was successful in the saving of his own house. Noah got a message from God. God spoke to Noah's heart. God told him that he was going to send judgment upon the earth, that there was going to be a flood, and that God was going to send this judgment because of the wickedness that was in the hearts of men. Men had turned away from God. And God came to Noah. The Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah saw the condition of the world. And he had the promise from God that judgment, that certain judgment was coming. And that caused him to go into action. When he knew that God was going to act and he knew that God was going to do something, he immediately responded by making sure that his own family, his own children, his wife and his children did not have to incur and face the wrath of Almighty God. There's a lot of folks that will say that fear is not a good motive for doing anything. But the Bible speaks differently. Let me remind you, Solomon said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, what does it mean when the Bible talks about the word fear? It does not mean what you and I associate with that word. When we think of fear, we think of that I'm afraid of somebody. Well, God doesn't want us afraid of Him. The idea with this word is the idea of respect. It is the idea that we understand who God is and what God can do and His power, and we understand all that, and we realize that we need to submit ourselves and to be respectful of God whenever He says anything. The example that I've given you before is the idea of a policeman. Let's say that there was an accident down here on at Gorsuch Road in 140. And a policeman would come down the hill and pull his car into the middle of the lanes and get out of his car. And he's got his uniform on. He's got his gun on his side. He's got his cap and his badge. And he's equipped like a policeman. And you come over the hill, and all he has to do is stick his hand out, and you'll stop. He doesn't have the power to put his hand out there and stop your car. No, if you're coming over that hill 50 miles an hour and you slam into him just like anybody else, you're going to send him flying. That's not the idea. It is the idea that he has the authority. He does not have the power to stop you, but he has the authority to stop you. And so you respect that authority. And when you see him with his hand out, you hit the brakes and you stop your car. And that's the idea with God. God has spoken, and we should have the respect to submit ourselves to what God has said. Noah was told by God that judgment was coming, and the idea here is that he believed God. He believed what God said to him and had respect unto what God said, and he knew that it was going to happen because God said it. Now, I want every father in this building to give me your ear this morning. Folks, listen, just as God spoke to Noah and Noah believed God, I want you to know that God has spoken to us. I have a Bible here in my hand. This Bible is the Word of God, and it's just as much the Word of God as the words Noah heard from God's mouth. This Bible is just as much the word from God's mouth as the words that Noah heard. And this Bible tells me that a judgment is coming, that it's coming upon mankind because of sin and because of man's rejection of Jesus Christ. And that is where I want to make my point on this Father's Day. If I understand my Bible, if I'm reading it correctly and I understand it properly, the spiritual responsibility of your family, Dad, lies with you. It is your responsibility. Your wife's spiritual walk and your children's spiritual walk, it rests upon your shoulders. It is upon your shoulders. And again, notice, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. It doesn't say that Mrs. Noah did all this. No, it says that Noah did this. The father of the house, the high priest in the home, the father of these children, the husband of this woman. This man, Noah, was the instrument of God used by God in the saving of his family. Now, there are so many examples in the Bible of Bible characters, some that did well with their families and others that did not do so well. I could stand up here all morning and just tell you about this Old Testament character or that Old Testament character and use them as examples and show you how God worked in their lives or how they refused to let God work in their lives and show you the consequences that came as a result. There are some in the Bible who did not do what they were supposed to do as the high priest in the home. There were some that just refused to obey God. They refused to listen to what God had to say. And the Bible declares and tells us that they paid a terrible price for their disobedience. Were these men unsaved? No. Were they heathen men? No, not by any stretch of the means. Were they ungodly men? No, no. There are just some men in the Bible. They were saved people, saved men, but they did some foolish things and ended up losing their children and losing their families. And Lot, for example. Lot is, probably would stand out as a perfect example of a father who did not lead his family and do what he was supposed to do and ended up paying a tremendous price for it. Lot made a couple of bad decisions along the way. The Bible says in the New Testament says that he was a just man. Yet, he made some pretty bad decisions in a couple of areas and chose the riches of Sodom, chose the way of the world rather than a walk with God. And the thing that you learn from the story of Lot is that his children were more influenced by the lifestyle of Sodom than they were with their own daddy's relationship to God. You see, Sodom had more of an impact upon Lot's children than did Lot. Lot did not have the spiritual impact on his children he was supposed to have had. And he ended up losing his family. You go back into Genesis 19 and you read the story. Lot and his wife had a whole bunch of kids. We don't know how many. Does not say. Just said he had a lot of sons and he had a lot of daughters. And there were two of them that were in the house when the angels came. Two of his married daughters were there, and evidently their husbands were there as well. And so when Lot went in and said, "We have got to get out of here. Judgment is coming. We've got to go. The angel of the Lord has spoken and said, you've got to get the kids and you've got to get out of Sodom. Fire and brimstone are falling out of heaven." And when Lot tried to convince his family that they needed to get out, the Bible says that these girls, his daughters' husbands, laughed at him. They made a mockery of him. And they thought he was a crazy man for saying what he was saying. Folks, I submit to you that had Lot been living the way he should have been living, and had he been standing for God the way he should have been standing, when he got the message from the angel of the Lord and was told to get out, his family would not have mocked him and laughed at him and scorned him for believing what God had to say. You see, you can make some bad decisions. You want to make sure that your influence is a positive influence and that you are leading your family in the right way. David is another example. David was a strong believer in God. We all know what the Bible said about David. God said that David was a man after his own heart. That's pretty impressive for God to say that about a human being. But David made some foolish decisions. He made some decisions. The guy, every time he turned around, the guy was getting married. That's right. Go back and read the Bible. And listen, God's pattern in Genesis was one man, one woman. And here's this guy going out, he's just marrying this one and marrying that one. He had a whole bunch of wives. And not only that, he ended up doing some foolish things and disobeying the Lord, and it ended up costing him dearly. He spoiled his kids rotten, and the Bible contains the record of the heinous sins that these kids committed. Murder, and adultery, and incest, and sedition, and anarchy. And you check the record, folks. Most of David's children died a horrible, shameful death that resulted in David dying an old man with a broken heart. So you just got to be careful when it comes to the raising of your children that you set the right example. Now, what does this show us? Well, it shows me, Dad, that you better be careful with the way you serve God. You got little eyeballs that are watching you. You got these little eyes that are keeping tabs on you, whether you realize it or not. And so you better be careful. I mean, this up and down, listen to me now, this up and down, in and out, hot and cold, going one week and off the next week and this week and that week, just taking intermittent hits with God, all of this Laodicean Christianity that we see so prevalent in our society today, I want you to know that if you're going to raise your children with that Laodicean mindset, when they get to be adults, they're going to be Laodicean Christians, and you don't want that. They'll break your heart if you're not careful. I tell you, the older I get, the more I find myself acting and behaving, and I'm pretty sure thinking just like my dad. You know, mirror, mirror on the wall, I am my father after all. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing. My dad is my hero. He's a wonderful guy. I just love my dad with all my heart. My dad I always felt that he was responsible for hanging the moon. I mean, I just always felt my dad was the greatest guy to ever walk. There was nothing in my mind that my dad could not do. I remember as a kid thinking, Dad could fix that. I mean, if it's broken, Dad could fix it. That's just how I felt about my dad. There wasn't anything he couldn't do. But you know, I'm finding that the older I get, the more like him I'm becoming. With the baby being born 2 weeks ago, my dad is called just about every evening, there, at least for a week. He called every evening, wanted to know how Josh and Kathy and the baby were doing. And I pick up, you know, and I have caller ID, you know, and it says right there, you know, that I'm calling myself. I'm Norris Jr., he's Norris Sr. And it says that I'm calling myself, so I know it's him when he calls. And so I say, hello, and he goes, every time, I mean, without exception, every time, he says, oh, you're home. Well, I sure hope so. I mean, if I'm not, there's a stranger answering my phone. I said, Dad, of course I'm home. Why do you say that every time? He says, well, because I call and call and call, and you never answer the phone. Aren't you ever home? I said, well, I'm home now. And every time I talk to you on this phone, I'm home. That makes sense, doesn't it? But every time he'll say, oh, you're home. And so I called one of the girls the other day, and when she answered the phone, you know what I said? Oh, you're home. And then it hit me. That's exactly what my dad says. And no matter how hard you try, you're never going to be able to escape the fact that when you grow up, you're going to be just like your parents. And so what I'm saying to you folks is this. Hey, Dad, you got some little eyeballs that are watching you. They're watching how you respond, how you react. They're watching how you handle situations. You want to make sure that you don't do anything in that child's life that is going to make them react negatively when they get to the place where they have to make the right kind of decisions. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. I mean, if the man of the house is the key. The man of the house is the key. And if we could have every home represented in our church by a godly man who is consecrated to the Lord and who knows his Bible and is totally dedicated to serving the Lord, we could have a church that is literally vibrant and alive with the power of God. Revival would be the norm. Thousands of people would come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Oh, how we need to hear what God has to say to dads today. Now, there are just two things I want to emphasize here this morning. First of all, I want you to know that it is your job, Dad, to provide an ark of safety for your family. It is your job. Look at your Bible. It says that he was moved with fear, prepared an ark. He prepared an ark. It is your job, Dad, to provide an ark of safety for your family. We somehow or another think that if we just dump our kids into the Sunday school and if we just dump our kids into Carol Christian that they'll take care of all their spiritual needs. Folks, nothing could be further from the truth. I remind you that long before God ever established the church, He established the home. I remind you that you have more time with them and more influence over them and more impact in their lives than the church or the Sunday school ever could have. And you don't know, dear friend, you may bring them here and you may put them in a Sunday school class, and it just may be that they will miss what Sunday school gives them. It might be that they just don't grasp what the Sunday school is trying to get them to see. You may bring them here to church, and if you don't work with them and teach them how to listen and teach them how to grasp what's going on, it just may well be that they're going to come here and miss what goes on from behind this pulpit. And you have no guarantee. So what I'm saying is that it's your responsibility to see that your children are provided an ark of safety. Your children do not ride into heaven on your coattails. I don't know how many people through the years, Brother Stane, you ask them, say, do you know for sure if you die today you'd go to heaven? You say, well, you know, my parents were good Christians. Well, la-ti-da. Big deal. I'm not talking about your parents, I'm talking about you. What if you were to die today? Do you know that you'd go to heaven? You're not going to ride into heaven on your parents' coattails. Everybody has to make their own decision. Every single individual has to make a definite, conscious decision to exercise faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot just take for granted that they're going to clearly understand the gospel. I'm saying, Dad, it's your responsibility. Sit down with your children, open your Bible, explain to them how they can know that they're going to heaven, answer their questions, and make sure that you show them how to step from unbelief to belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, and make sure that they're in the ark of safety. Again, I say the man is of the house is the key to this matter. You ever hear anybody say, well, you can't take anything to heaven with you? Wrong. Wrong. You can take your family with you. Oh, it's right. You can't take your money, and you can't take your car, and you can't take your house, but you can take your children with you. And Dad, it is your responsibility as the high priest in that home. God has placed you there and said, I want you to teach these children how to know Christ as their Savior. You're the key. You're the key. Oh, we've got so many young fathers in our church, and I thank God for every one of them. But listen, young man, would you vow to God this morning that you're going to do all you can to assure your children are saved and that you have done your absolute best to get them into a right relationship with Jesus Christ? Don't compromise. Don't compromise. Don't allow compromise to keep you from doing your duty. My soul, God has given you those little ones for a reason. God put them under your care so you will guide them and direct them in the things of God. Go back to Lot for just a minute. Lot came into Sodom and built a house and settled down. Hey, we even learned that Lot became a leader in the city. He was sitting at the gate. What did they do at the gates? That's where they held court. That's where they made decisions. Lot was an elder in the city. He was a leader in that city. And so here he is now in Sodom, and he got the message from the Lord that fire and brimstone was going to fall from heaven. And he went to his kids, and his sons-in-laws laughed at him, even mocked him. The girls went with him, two of them. But the sons-in-laws didn't, and all the rest of his family, they didn't go either. And sure enough, fire came out of heaven, and their bodies are still buried in the ashes over along the Dead Sea somewhere. Simply because Lot did not have any influence with his own children. Folks, I'm begging you. Men, I'm begging you. I mean, if we live a life of compromise, we're going to lose our influence. We're going to lose our influence. And the first place you will lose that influence is in your own children. In your own children. I tell you, it's kind of hard to be critical of a 20-year-old who's not living for God when he watched his daddy not live for God for 20 years. And there's nothing Nothing that God wants any more than for you to have the right influence on your children. If we live a life of compromise, we're going to lose our influence. Just for illustration's sake, what if you came over to my house some Saturday night? You come up the driveway of my house, and as you're pulling up into our driveway, you notice that I'm sitting on the porch, and Pastor Campbell's sitting on the porch, and Pastor Allen is sitting on the porch, and Pastor Stainer is sitting on the porch, and Pastor Lawrence is sitting on the porch. And we're just sitting there in rocking chairs, just watching the evening pass by. And you pull up close and you think, what in the world have they got in their hands? And you get out of your car and you walk a little closer, and all of us are sitting there drinking a beer. Now, that'll never happen, by the way. Because I understand Pastor Stainer likes wine and not beer, but that'll no, come on, I'm kidding. That'll never happen. You can't believe I said that, can you? Let's just suppose that you pull up and you see us sitting there drinking on the porch. I'm telling you, you're going to be impacted by that, are you not? That's going to impact. Don't sit there and say, wouldn't bother me, you can drink what you want. Baloney. You'd be standing down here at 1:40 with a sign that says, my pastors drink beer, so everybody can see it as they go down the street. Don't tell me. And if the deacon, I guarantee you, the deacons would have us in their office, in an office somewhere before the week was out. And I'll guarantee you that if they did not kick us out of this church and say, we don't want a bunch of drunks in here pastoring our church, if they said that, I'll guarantee you that you'd be looking for another church. I'm not going down there with a bunch of drunks. And I don't blame you, justifiably so. You say, well, you're the preacher. I know, but you're the dad. And it's just as important. Those little eyes are watching you just like you're watching us. That little child in your home is looking to you for godliness and leadership and to be a man that is rightly related to God. You don't want to do anything that's going to compromise that. Stand up for God and be counted. Let him see a godly father, a man that loves the Lord and leads his family with love and compassion and walks in the truth and is Christ-like and faithfully attends church and is soul conscious and consistent in his daily walk. And I guarantee you that this man's children, and I guarantee you that this man's wife will follow him to the ends of the earth. Oh, dear friend, you've got to provide an ark of safety. But let me take it just one step further. It is also your job to be the right kind of influence. Your influence is so important. Dad, I want you to realize the influence you have on your family. Your influence is greater than mine. It's greater than mine. Your influence is greater than their Sunday school teacher. And I want you to know that your influence is even greater than their friends. They're watching you. I read a story this week. It's supposed to be a true story. I hope it's true. Sure is a good story. It'd be a shame if it wasn't true. It was about a little 9-10-year-old boy. One day, one night, he woke up in the middle of the night, just came running into his mom and dad's bedroom, ran around to where his dad was and shook his dad, just shaking like a leaf. He was just scared out of his wits. And he shook his dad and was screaming, and Daddy, Daddy, wake up, Daddy, Daddy. And so the dad woke up, flipped a light on, saw the fear in his little boy's face. And he said, son, what in the world's wrong? He thought maybe somebody'd broken in the house. What's wrong? He said, Daddy, I just had a horrible dream. And he said, what happened? He said, Daddy, I dreamed that I was laying in bed and I was asleep. And all of a sudden, you came into my room and you crawled on top of me, on top of the bed, and you grabbed me around the throat and you were just squeezing and choking the very life out of me. He said, Daddy, it was so real. I had to run in here and make sure you were still here to make sure it was just a dream. Oh, Dad, and the little boy shaking and tears were streaming down his face. The father sat up and grabbed his son and pulled him to his chest and said, honey, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. And he calmed his boy down. And he picked him up and he carried him back to his room and he said, everything will be okay. And he put him back in the bed and kissed him on the forehead and tucked the covers in around him and said, now, honey, you go back to sleep. And from the time that father left his boy's bed and walked out of his room and down the hallway to his own bedroom, the Spirit of God had got a hold of that man's heart. For you see, this man was not living the way he should have been living his life. He had some things going on, and he knew that he was a bad influence. And that man walked into his own bedroom and fell down at the side of his own bed, and the tears began to flow. And he realized, oh God, I am slowly killing my own son by the way I'm living my life. Oh, it's not as violent as taking a gun and just shooting my son. But slowly, through the process of time, by the example that I'm showing, I am leading my child to make some of the same foolish mistakes and do some of the same selfish things that I have done in my life. I may not be choking the life out of him in his bedroom, but I'm slowly choking the life out of him by the way I'm living my life. And he got on his face before God and begged and pleaded for God to forgive him. And from that day forward was a different man in his family. My friend, I want you to realize that your job is to make sure that you have the right kind of influence in your home. Dad's job is to create a happy home. Children don't need to feel like they're living in a war zone. I remember back when I first got saved, it was 1970. And the Vietnam War was in full glory, and we had this guy come home that had been a member of our church, and he came home from Vietnam, and the youth pastor invited him to come and speak to the youth group, and he came and told some of the stories and related some of the things that he had seen in Vietnam, and he was telling about being in this one town where they had this town surrounded, and they were in a foxhole. They were in a pinned down by Viet Cong fire. And he said all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, there were bullets flying everywhere. He said that he was never so afraid in all of his life. He said he hunkered down and pulled that helmet down over his head and just prayed that one of those bullets would not have his name on it. And he said that right in the middle of that horrible firefight, he said in his fear, he looked at the man that was sitting beside of him and said, my soul, isn't this awful? Isn't this horrible? Why, there's bullets flying everywhere. And the young man beside him said, this is nothing. Man, if you'd have been raised in my home, you wouldn't think anything of this. And that was a true story. Can you imagine being raised in that kind of an environment? Fighting and fussing and feuding. Folks, listen. Dad needs to show his children how to love mom, not how to fight with mom. Dad needs to show protection and security and strength in the home. I remember when I was a kid, my dad worked for Appalachian Power Company. And when I don't know, somewhere around six, seven years of age, they started building these power plants down on the Ohio River. So Dad had to go out of town on Monday morning. He'd leave Monday morning and go out of town, stay down next to the plants where they were working. He'd come home on Friday night. We lived in a place called Brookhaven. It was a big subdivision. There were supposed to be about 500 homes in there. I don't know if they ever got to that. But there were supposed to be about 500 homes in this place. So there were people everywhere. And when Dad was out of town, and it was just Mom and us three kids, my mom would go into the silverware drawer, and she'd pull out the drawer and get a handful of butter knives. And she would then shut that door, come back in. We had three doors that went from our house to the outside. And my mom would go in trim. You know what I'm talking about? Where the trim was on the door. And my mom would take that butter knife, she'd lock the door, deadbolt the door, then she would take those butter knives and she would stick them underneath the trim, to give a little added protection. So here we got three or four butter knives running up and down the doors, and the deadbolt and the door locked. And then she'd leave the light on in the living room and leave the bedroom doors open just so, you know, in case somebody did come in, you could hear them coming in. And basically, we lived in fear. I mean, our house was like Fort Knox trying to get in. And if we'd had a fire in there, all of us would have burned to death. There's no way you could have gotten out. But, you know, it was interesting. On Friday, when Dad came home, the butter knife stayed in the drawer. As a matter of fact, in the summertime, we didn't have air conditioning, and in the summertime, they'd just leave the door open, and Mom would go over and flip the lock on the screen door, but my goodness, how hard would it have been to get in the house if you'd have wanted in? But you just left the door wide open. There was never a light left on in the house when Dad was home. You see, we looked to Dad for protection. We looked to Dad for that security. We looked to Dad for that strength in the home. Let me tell you something, Dad. If your Christianity doesn't give you a happy home, if you can't live for God in your home and convince your family that you are a real Christian, then you can't convince anyone. If you can't defeat the devil within the four walls of your own house, then you won't be able to defeat the devil anywhere. I'm saying Dad's job is to create a happy home. Then, lastly, Dad's job is to anchor his family in a good church. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I want a large, thriving church. I just think everybody in Carroll County ought to get saved and live for God. But more than that, I want a clean, holy, dedicated church. I want the dads of this church to be where they ought to be with God. No church will ever be stronger than the men who attend that church. No church will ever be cleaner than the men that attend that church. No church will ever do any more than what its men will do. You see, a man who does not come to prayer meeting on Wednesday night is one who is saying to his family, prayer meeting's not that important, children. A man that won't tithe is saying to his family, well, you know, the church and spreading the gospel, it's not as important as everybody makes it out to be. A man that won't read his Bible is saying to his family that the Bible is not really that important. A man that only comes on Sunday morning is saying to his family that church is only a part-time proposition. It's not really that important. I'm saying, men, you need to let your life back up what you profess. I'm saying you are the key. Plain and simple, you are the key. Men are the key. And it's your job to be the high priest in your home. You show me a man who is sold out to the Lord, who has, from the beginning, put the Lord first in his life and in his home. You show me a man that walks with God, who reads his Bible, who wins souls, who is living a clean life with the joy of the Lord in his heart, and I'll show you a family that'll be by his side. I've never seen that not work. I've never seen that not work. And children will love him. His wife will support him. Listen, Dad, you are the key. And Dad, today's the day. Today's the day. Now's the time. This is the place. This is God's hour. Won't you decide today that you're going to become the key to your family and your children growing up and having a chance in life? I tell you, some of these stories that you hear coming out of the bus ministry, some of these stories. I mean, Pastor Holbrook will sometimes tell me, Pastor, I want to tell you about this family. Let me tell you about this story. We bring kids in here, they don't even know who their dad is. We bring children in here, and their dads are just drunks, just lay around all the time drunk. We bring dads in here, or children in here, their dads are in prison. You cannot imagine some of the horror stories that take place in our county. You just could not imagine it. It's never going to happen to me. I'm sure that all of them thought, when they brought that little bundle home, I'm sure every one of them thought, man, I'm going to make a good life for this child. But you see what sin does in such a short period of time. I'm begging with you, Dad. I'm pleading with you, Dad. Get your heart where it's supposed to be. Get your nose in the book. Get your heart in the book. and let God use you to make an impact and to make a difference with your children. I can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for your children, their grandparents. You got to do it yourself. And you purpose in your heart, and God will bless it, and God will use it for His honor and His glory. Thank God, old Noah said, my children are not going to get destroyed. I'm going to believe God. Well, dear friend, I'm telling you, believe God. And just purpose that you're going to put God where He should be in your home. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank You for this time together this morning. I pray You'll bless what's been said to our hearts. Lord, help us to understand what we have heard today. And Lord, not just to understand it with head knowledge, but to understand it with heart knowledge. Lord, as we allow the Word of God to make an impact in our lives, Father, I pray that You will so move and so work in the hearts of every dad in this building. And Lord, may we be committed to raising our children. May we be committed to being the high priest in the home that will lead with a godly influence our children to serve You. Father, just touch the hearts now of every father in this building in Jesus' name. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed, no one looking around. How many of you here today will say, Pastor, God's speaking to my heart this morning. I realize that I have an influence. I realize that I need to take my stand for God and be what I need to be in my family. And Pastor, God's dealing with my heart right now. God's speaking to my heart right now. And I want you to pray for me. I have a decision that I need to make. Would you raise your hand all over this building and let's pray and ask God to bless and work and do something this morning. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Upstairs, God bless you folks. Amen. Are there others? Pastor, pray for me. God's speaking to my heart. God's dealing with me right now. Would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Let me ask this. Is there anybody here today that would say, Pastor, I'm not even sure I'm saved and on my way to heaven. If I died right now, I just don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me today? Would you lift your hand and let me pray and ask God to speak to your heart? Yes, God bless you. Anybody else? Pastor, I'm just not 100% sure that I'm saved. I know I need to be saved. I want you to pray for me. Anybody else? All right. Now, Lord, You know our needs today, and I pray that You'll meet the needs of our hearts. Lord, for these dads all over the building, young and old alike, Lord, raise their hand. Would You speak clearly and distinctly? And Father, help these men to take their stand for You. Lord, help them to just stand up and say, I'm not going to let the devil have me, and I'm not going to let the devil have my kids. I'm not going to let the devil ruin my family. I'm just going to be what the Lord would have me be. Father, give us, I pray, victory. I pray the Holy Spirit to move and work in a great way. And Lord, for this one that said, I'm not sure that I'm saved, may today be the day of salvation. Lord, just do Your work now in our hearts. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.